Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call 401-737-1287. Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Welcome back. It's Southern New England Sports Saturday. Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. Nick Coit in the Warwick Studios. Scott Cardishi on the road with the Brown men's basketball team taking on Columbia tonight. We'll talk some more college hoops in the second hour of the show, too. Just getting to the text line here. And there's a few good texts here, Scott. First one comes in. It says, and this is a good point, too. If the Celtics improve the rest of the season, go deep into the playoffs, Kyrie stays. If they still play inconsistent, get knocked out early, he'll probably leave. And I'm looking at the standings right now, and if it was today the playoffs were to begin, it looks like it'd be a 4-5 series with the Sixers, which would be really interesting as a first-round series. Yeah, that would be interesting. And say they were to lose. Say they were to lose, Scott. Say they were to lose to the Sixers. Right there, that right there would give incentive for Kyrie to just say, I'm out of here. See you later.
But see, therein lies the problem. And while you were reading that text, and I'm looking at it too, right? If the Celtics improve the rest of the season, go deep in the playoffs, Kyrie stays. If they still play inconsistent and get knocked out early, he'll probably leave. Okay, so that just tells me that Kyrie, like a lot of today's NBA superstars, all they are is front runners, right? How about if the Celtics do get knocked out early out of the playoffs, that you act like a true superstar and say, you know what? I take this as a challenge to make this team better. We need to be better, and I want to be here and be a part of that. No. But instead, today's superstars, when the going gets tough, they get going. And I hate that.
I hate it. Yeah. Well, because when this first iteration of building the superstar team came along with the Celtics, I think Danny really lucked out in terms of the type of guys that he dealt for with that big three before. Look at the reaction in this week when Kevin Garnett came to town. Last week when Kevin Garnett came to town, visited the practice facility, was at the game against the Lakers and whatnot. Look at the reaction by people. Look at how much people adored Kevin Garnett when he came here. They loved that guy because he came and he fully embraced the culture. But I don't think Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, that, and it was only what, 10 plus years ago. I don't think that's the way of the NBA anymore. That's not the superstar.
And they were older. They were in their 30s on their last leg.
They were. But even back then, the superstar of the NBA, I think it was just moving toward what the superstar of the NBA is now in terms of LeBron James and Kevin Durant they've become the superstar, and there's a lot more on their minds in terms of basketball. It's more about their shoe labels and all that kind of stuff that comes along with it too. It's not just about basketball anymore. I think with those guys, they were superstars, but it was about basketball and about winning. And you're right. In their older age, they knew that they could come together to win a championship. And maybe that's part of the issue here with Kyrie, is that he's won a championship. He won one with Cleveland, you know? So the winning part of it, it's not like he is chasing that elusive title. He's got one. So that's part of the issue there too, but I don't know. It's so funny. At the beginning of the season, it seemed like Kyrie was starting to embrace the Celtics culture and the tradition, and now he's sort of moved away from it. And it's a shame because you're right, Scott. You want a guy that it's fully embraced in what Boston is and the experience of leading the Celtics and being a Celtic. And remember, they made that commercial too with him and his dad playing one on one on the parquet. Yep. It really seemed like it was turning a corner there. And now, I don't know.
I feel like he used his dad as like an excuse to try to like Boston because his dad played in Boston in college.
Maybe, but it seemed like everything was being embraced. Like, remember at the beginning of the season, too, Tommy Heinsohn called out Kyrie for being like out of shape or overweight to start the season or something. And Kyrie like embraced it. He played with Tommy with him, and he was like, you know what? Tommy's right, or sort of. And then he came out and he had a good game and embraced Tommy, and I don't know. There was something there. It seemed like he was coming along in terms of, you know, buying into the Celtics tradition. But I don't know. Maybe it's just the way the season's gone. I don't know. But you're right. You want to see a guy that's fully embraced. But I think this texter, too, makes a good point. You know, he says, I agree with you. The team's much more likable with young guys. But the way the NBA is, you need that one or two superstars to win in the playoffs. That sucks, but that's how it is. And I think that what comes along with that is the personality of the modern superstar. You know, I think Kyrie has that. I think LeBron has that. I think Kevin Durant has that. I think it's just the way it is, I think, with some of these superstars. And yeah, the teams are more likable. We love those scrappy Celtics from the last couple of years. You love the overachieving Celtics from the postseason last year. But, you know, to win a championship, I think you have to take what comes along with the modern superstar.
Especially to beat the Warriors.
Right. Exactly. Because there's a lot of them there.
Yep, it's a catch-22.
It is.
It's what it is.
Right.
And like I said, I'm one of those guys, and maybe it's just the old school me. I don't like today's superstar athlete. And I don't want to paint them all with the same broad brush, but, you know, the attitude that, if you can't beat them, join them. Just kind of the prima donna attitude and approach. I don't know. I'm the old school guy. I love Kevin Garnett. You brought up Kevin Garnett's name, and that's the perfect example. A guy that came here and embraced being a part of this organization and was going to give you every last ounce of sweat he had in his body to try to bring another championship to the Boston Celtics, and that's exactly what he did. I don't get that same sense with a lot of today's superstars, whether it's Kyrie Irving, whether it's Anthony Davis, hell, LeBron James, the game's greatest star today. You know, they all want to team up with one another and create these super teams, and that's what they feel winning a championship is all about, not working their ass off to win a championship and earn one. They want to team up with superstars to make it easier to get one, and I hate it. I can't stand it.
No, it's and text just came in that said super teams are killing the NBA, and it is what it is. It's tough to watch it. Yeah, you're right. You want to root for a team that comes together as a team and has a coach like Brad Stevens that brings them together, and you know, that's what you root for. But unfortunately, I don't think that's the modern NBA, the landscape here. 401-737-1287 is the number to call and talk to us. Text us 37937. Let's go to the phone lines. And as we bring in our friend Dan in Cranston this morning, I want to read a text that came in.
Jimmy Garoppolo, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
go ahead.
You made your bed, pal. Now you got to lay in it.
Hey, I'll lay in that bed any day of the week, friend.
The texters.
You probably would with Jimmy G. That's what scares me.
Don't think I have one in my mind. All right, next question.
No. The texter says, you got to listen to this. It's right. Good. It says, hi, guys. It's not Dan from Cranston. The only thing worse than potentially losing Kyrie Irving is losing Jimmy G. What do you guys think?
10/30 2017, a day that will live in infamy. I've already talked about that. No. Someone's trying to bust my you-know-what. I will talk football real quick.
Sure.
Now that I've had a chance to marinate it for 2 weeks, it's still amazing that they won with this squad and what the expectations were, you know?
Oh,
just
yeah.
Looking back at it now, it's such one of their best ones, I think. It really was.
Well, the road to it, Dan, is what impressed me, too. Because we talked about what the team was and whatnot, but then that team beats a team that comes to Foxborough with a better record, beats the Chiefs at Arrowhead, and then beats this big, bad Rams offense and holds them to 3 points in the Super Bowl. Like, that, to me, was, like, unbelievable.
Yeah. We all said to a man they had no chance entering the playoffs.
Yeah.
I remember the three of us said it. The one thing I was just kind of curious about, when Mookie Betts signed his $20 million guaranteed deal in arbitration this year, I just was curious. I looked up Julian Edelman's career earnings, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can see where I'm going with this one. Total career payout since being drafted in 2009 in money and bonuses. Take a guess.
Not a lot.
Yeah, not a lot.
$25,750,000. Less than half of which is guaranteed money.
Wow.
Think about that for a minute. You know, it's just like this guy's, you know, Mookie Betts is going to make just as much in 1 year, and he's not even, like, near his potential than Julian Edelman will probably make in his whole freaking career.
So you're saying Kyler Murray should stick to baseball?
I don't know, man. I just, you know, the thing about baseball that they are getting right, and I applaud owners for doing this, they're talking colluding. Like, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are still available. I think that's a good thing for baseball, because the days of these, you know, there's a wall that's being hit. Like, you know, 10 years, $400 million, come on. Those days are over. So I don't think clubs are going to go do that anymore, because they're always guaranteed to be a bad contract. And I think the way of the future is going to be what they did with J.D. Martinez. You're going to try to sign guys to big contracts, but with an opt-out after like 2 or 3 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, get bets. Like Chris Gasper said this, and this was a great way to think about it. Try to sign bets right now, 5 years, $150 million, with an opt-out after like year three. Like 2 or 3. I think that's a great way to handle it.
Well, this is the time. This is the time, Dan.
Right.
I'm with you. Like, because of what's going on in the landscape and free agency, and I think a guy like Mookie Betts, I think, would be really willing to listen to what the Red Sox have to say, and especially with a deal like that. You know, maybe that's a good thing, a little security for him when guys like Harper and Machado are still out there and don't have the security. You know, I agree with that.
Less term, higher AAV. I think that's the way of the future.
Well, and this is something I was going to bring up later in the show, but I'm with you in terms of standing your ground on these contracts, because Justin Verlander came out and tweeted like, what, you can't give a guy 10 years? No, because the 10-year contracts don't work out well. What was the last 10-year contract in baseball? Was it Albert Pujols with the Angels? And it was like, he was already trending toward his back nine of his career. Like, owners shouldn't just hand out 10-year, $300, $400 million deals. I'm with them on that. I'm not saying don't pay players in baseball, but I think it's reached a point where you don't want it to get too ridiculous here. They
you
were talking
the
about
last, go the ahead. Last best 10-year contract was? And
Manny.
Manny's. I mean, I agree.
Yeah, he was 8 years. He was 8-160.
Oh, was it? I thought it was 10-200.
No, it was 8-160.
But you're right. You're absolutely right. And I stand corrected. But that was the last long-term deal given to a superstar where you can say the production was commensurate to the years and the money
right.
that was given to him. And you know, Dan Duquette actually signed him to that deal many, many years ago with the Boston Red Sox. But I agree with you, Nick. For the most part, yeah, the free agent contracts, the long ones, the big money deals – that the Bryce Harpers of the world are looking for, usually the back end of those gets real ugly.
It's going to be interesting, too, because Adam Wainwright, I was just listening to it right before the show, he was talking with somebody in the media, and he said something about along the lines of he thought there might be some sort of strike with the players here. You know, he said he's worried about guys that might, like, walk out midseason or whatever, and I'm like, wow. This could get really interesting with baseball because of what's going on here with the free agent market. And again, what you said, Dan, if I'm the Red Sox, I talk to Mookie Betts right now and I say, you know what, let's see if we can get him to sign some sort of deal here and come to an agreement to give him a little security through all this, because he might be willing to listen because of what's going on with free agency.
Yeah, he's got to feed his family, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and he's bowling money, I guess. I don't know what that was probably.
He's good at it.
To wrap up Julian Edelman real quick,
yeah.
I just think that with the PEDs and everything, talk about baseball, there's a big difference here. PEDs in baseball is to hit a ball another 20 feet. PEDs in football are to continue your career so you can earn what limited money you can get. I will never, ever begrudge a guy for taking PEDs in football. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. And they have such a short shelf life and have such a short window to make money. If that's what they need to do to make money, then God bless them.
I talked about that last week, and it was like the articles that were out there criticizing Edelman. My whole point was, Dan, the penalty in football is a 4-game suspension. That's it. He served it. He came back. He did his time. That was it. You know, I don't know why the criticism was there. That it is what it is.
But Dan's mentality is pretty much the mentality of I think most of America, and myself
included. Sure, sure.
We don't hold it against football players for PED use like we do baseball players. In baseball, we feel like those records are all sacred, and you know, football is such a physically demanding sport, a gladiator warrior mentality that sometimes these guys need those. You know what I mean? We give them a pass, like the Rodney Harrisons and Julian Edelmans of the world in football, but we don't in the sport of baseball.
One Providence basketball thing of all things, real quick.
Sure.
This is from a point of from a spectator, but my brother graduated from PC play baseball with Framingham Lou back in the early 90s, I think it was.
Yep.
So anyways, on Tuesday night, I was, I went over, what was it, Tuesday they played Villanova?
Wednesday.
I can't remember. Wednesday. All right, I stopped by. Him and he has two of his buddies, two both he graduated with. And this is, I know your aunt is going to be there young, blah, 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 and, you know, what, who else are you going to get? But I can tell you from an alumni perspective that they are getting very frustrated with Ed Cooley at this point, mostly because of lack of results. And I know they're in a rebuilding, they're young right now, but it was funny because we were watching the game, right? And I think they were up early in the second half by whatever, a couple points. Was it?
They took a two-point lead with about 10 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah, and the three guys I was watching with said, to a man, they said, watch, they'll lose by at least 10. And they lost by, what, 15?
Something like that.
And I know it's part of it's being young, but here's the thing. You know, I think maybe it's just because he's a victim of his own success, and really, who else would you get as a coach? But they are getting frustrated with him, mostly because they've been talked about every year, this is a great recruiting class, blah, blah, blah. And he only has, what, one tournament win to show for it in his tenure there right now?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's just like, I think they're going through like one more cycle of like, all right, we're going to build it up again, we're getting a lot of talent, but if they don't do anything with it, you know, they're getting frustrated with him. His act is wearing a little bit thin. The line is basically he's a great recruiter, but he's not a good coach.
Yep,
that's the bottom line.
I've heard that from many Friar fans. That is the perception, whether or not you believe that to be reality. A lot of people think that Ed Cooley is a great recruiter, but only an average game coach. You know, I will fall back on the their young attitude. I would also say to you and your friends, it's the old adage, be careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
Right.
Because, you know, Cooley's delivered them to five straight NCAA tournaments, and you may say we can do better, we can get a better coach, but many, many times that does not turn out to be the case. So all of a sudden you say, okay, we're going to move on from Ed Cooley, which, by the way, is not going to happen at Providence, but
no.
If they were, you bring in the next guy, and all of a sudden the Friars program falls under hard times, and you're like, damn, we didn't realize how good we had it.
Yep.
Look at URI.
They lost their coach
and now they're dead.
I totally agree with Scott. And I think, too, this cycle is different because you brought in a recruiting class that had two top 50 guys that were coming out of high school. You know, give them time to become sophomores, juniors, get more experience in college hoops, and then reevaluate. That's the way I look at it, because I think with David Duke and A.J. Reeves in this class, even Jimmy Nichols, this is a recruiting class that was supposed to be next level, and they're freshmen. Let them have their growing pains. If by junior year they're not performing the way you think, okay, well, maybe that was just a lot of, you know, talk. But, you know, I think they are young, they're growing, and these guys, I think, at some point are going to have a spike in their growth.
Yeah, there was just bitter disappointment in the last go-around when they had, well, who was the kid that was a player of the year in the Big East?
Chris Dunn.
Dunn?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And then they had a couple of guys, but he didn't get it done either. So who knows? All right, yeah. I got to go, guys. You have a great weekend.
You too, Dan. Appreciate it. 401-737-1287, the number to call and talk to us. Text us 37937. We're going to take one more break here. We'll come back to wrap up the first hour of the show. I see Richard North Providence on the line. I see Joe in the bucket. Hang on. We'll come back. We'll get to more of your calls and texts here on Southern New England Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.